The inevitable question is today is, do we allow the woman to take care of us, gentlemen, or do we take care of the woman? Hi, this is Pastor John in Los Angeles. You know, living in this new age today, if we believe the media, if we listen to the media, it's always talking about this unisex stuff, unisex. Well, you know, there's got to be an equality, kind of like, if you will, a democratic nature or way of doing things. Well, Pastor John in Los Angeles on a Saturday afternoon in the Lucy Coleman studio addressing this issue. What do you do when the man in the relationship says that he can't find a job? That's a real strong thing here. And I'm telling you, without biblical principles and understanding how that thing works, you would fall in line in the negative sense. Hi, who's calling me?
Dr. Bob.
Oh, Bob, I want you to answer a question right quick because I was right in the middle of an introductory to a webcast. In a marriage relationship, should the woman take care of the man or should the man take care of the woman? I got you on speakerphone and I'm recording.
The man should take care of the woman with respect to housing, security, financially, making sure that basically being the overseer of the household.
Wow. That's
perfect. Now, the woman needs to take care of her man's needs.
Go ahead. Talk to me. Go ahead.
So, again, in the traditional family, that means that she's the main overseer of the kids, although the father is the enforcer. She's taking care of the kids' needs, the meals, the household, you know, the daily things in the household, as far as cooking for the most part, shopping for the most part. You know, she should be in that environment, but he should make sure that the home is paid for, the lights are paid for.
Right, but he has to primarily, he should be out looking for a job or getting a job or trying to make it work for the home unit.
He's providing the infrastructure.
What if he refuses? What if he says that he can't find a job and he's been married to the woman for years and he hasn't done this? What is a woman to do? Is she to continuously just cater to his needs? He's laying around the house. He's not doing anything. He says he can't find a job. He isn't doing anything.
She's probably going to be so disgusted by him that she won't want to take care of his needs.
Right. She'll come to a place.
A woman who's in loving relationship with a man who is being taken care of properly by her man should have a natural affection for him and want to provide those other needs so that he's not going to be so frustrated that he starts looking outside the marriage for something else.
Right. Well, you know, that's exactly what I'm handling this webcast about for about.
But if he's a slob and a slug, because I'm sorry, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. There's no job that I feel that I am above. Okay?
What do you think about it?
When I see people on the street with a sign saying, we'll work for food, and they have no intention of working whatsoever, and they just want a handout, I'm disgusted by that.
Yes.
I would go door to door and say, what can I do for you?
Absolutely.
Can I run errands for you? Can I water your lawn? Can I sweep your floors, clean, mop? Can I carry heavy objects, dig ditches, sod your grass, put in a sprinkler system for you? What can I do for you?
But it appears.
I don't mind getting my hands dirty. I don't mind busting my butt in a physically demanding job. But the last place you're going to find me is on a corner with a sign saying, saying, I need a handout.
And so you're saying that if a man doesn't get out there and try to do something to provide for his wife, instead of having his wife go to work and calling and telling his wife, you need to give me some money because I don't have any money.
That's a pitiful excuse for a man.
Especially a man that calls himself a Christian, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt.
You know, based upon, and you know what,
I don't know what book he's reading.
He'll try to use the Bible on his wife and say, you're supposed to take care of me if you're a godly woman.
She's going to be disgusted by him. She's going to be repulsed by him because all she sees him as an anchor dragging her down. And if she's already expending all of her energy trying to bring home the bacon, then the last thing on her mind is going to be, oh, let me take care of you in the bedroom.
Well, you know what? And I think that that's the way the situation is becoming. But these guys are using the Bible to try to bring guilt on these ladies. I'm only going to quote one verse during this hour webcast that I just started to do, Bob, and the verse is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Yes, than an infidel or an unbeliever. And so the woman should know that this is the worst situation that she can find herself in. But if she can...
That verse is saying that's a poor excuse for a human being. That's what that verse is saying in my language.
Right, right. And especially for anyone that calls themselves a Christian. Because, you know, and I know that the economy is rough and jobs are hard to come by. But you said it. If it takes, you know, sweeping the streets, doing anything. I mean, whatever it takes to bring in anything to at least show your wife. Now, Bob, what do you think?
Unless you are a quadriplegic, right. And even if you are a quadriplegic, you can get a telephone marketing job. You can get a phone and a desk, and you can be at home doing telemarketing.
Right. You can be doing something. And I know that that doesn't pay a lot, but at least it's bringing in something.
Doing what you can do and what you're physically capable of performing.
So,
if you're an able-bodied man, there's no excuse for you not to be able to find a job.
All right. Now, this may be switching tracks a little bit, Bob, and I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit had you call at this moment. What do you think about this? Is because I want to say to the listening audience, I didn't call Bob, did I, Bob? I didn't call you and tell you.
No. I was going to call you to tell you what my weekend's all about.
Right. Okay. And so this isn't somebody putting up this thing to make it right. So what do you think about the woman that has become frustrated with it, but her church community, maybe her pastor, maybe the people that she run with, tells her that she's obligated to take care of this man until he gets on his feet. And she's been with the man a number of years, and the man hasn't been able to do it. But now let me give you the clincher.
Hasn't been able to do it or hasn't been willing to do it?
He isn't willing to do it, in my estimate.
Willing to do it.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
It is a completely different thing. But let's say that in some kind of way, he knows that his woman, because she has a man. And you know, a lot of black women can find a man. So if she finds a man that can service her in the bedroom department, then she's willing to work for him and do all of that because of how he makes her feel. She doesn't want to leave that. Now she's caught between a rock and a hard place because she got a man that can service her sexually, and she feels obligated now to take care of his life, and that's all he's doing is just laying up with her, in a sense, laying the pipe. I'm sorry, excuse my expression. But that is what is holding the relationship together. What should this woman do, Bob, if she's a professing Christian? Oh, yeah.
That's what she's got to make that decision as far as, is this situation tolerable? Am I willing to put up with that for the bedroom benefits?
Yes.
Or have I gotten to the point where this is completely outweighed and the bedroom benefits...
Absolutely.
It's not that much of a benefit.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it's an untenable relationship and an unlivable relationship, again, the Christian community will tell you that you haven't had one of the two biblical, close quote, biblical reasons for separation.
Right.
One being abandonment and one being cheating on the spouse.
Well, see, now there's where the problem comes in, because the man isn't, as far as I know, the man is not having an adulterous relationship with someone else. But in using the woman in that degree, looking at how she emotionally is being entrapped by his unintentional excuse to get a job and to pay the bills and to make things go. Bob, with this young generation, there is so much of this going on. You've seen the young women driving down the street in Los Angeles and the young man sitting in the car along for the ride. I mean, you have the women that are having the jobs now, and everything has reversed in this society. And even to the degree now that a woman is saying, you know what, there's something wrong. I'm not supposed to be taking care of this guy. And the guy is saying, oh, come on, man, let the woman take care of you. There used to be songs in the 60s about that. We laughed at that because we knew that it was not a position that would hold water.
Yeah.
It was totally ridiculous. But now this position has taken its hold in not only in the black community, but the white community. And it is there. This is what I want to propose, that the woman has to be able to, man, because it's almost like an idolatrous situation. The situation has become so idolatrous. Well, if I want a man, I got to take care of that man. And I'm not going to make him take care of me because of what that man does for me sexually and emotionally. What has a woman really done to herself, Bob? Share that to the listening audience.
Well, I mean, she's compromised the way the situation should be just for, again, the bedroom benefit.
Right, right. And she
that might have been enough when she first got with the guy. And then after a while, you're with the same partner for many years, and it doesn't have the same appeal that it had when it was fresh and young and new.
Absolutely, absolutely. So something has to be done, and now he may be trying to make her feel guilty because she wants to move on with her life or find a real man, because what she in essence did was settle for something less than God actually had from her in the beginning. So what?
Because if she was reading her book, you know, she shouldn't be with a man that wouldn't be a provider like that.
Absolutely, but they don't make decisions based upon that, because when they hook up at a very young age, all they're thinking about is the excitement of the sexual experience and the fact that, okay, I'm married, so I'm not going to hell now, and so I got a married partner. But what they've done is that they've settled for a tragedy, because as they grow older and mature as individuals, they know that that situation is an untenable one. Yes. Boy, that is great. Go ahead, Bob.
Clearly, he's not living up to his the faith that he declares. You know, if he's claiming to be a Christian and he's doing that, obviously he's not living up to that. But on the other hand, it comes back to, deep down, she knew what she was getting when she married it.
Absolutely. And then when she went to church with it, the pastoral leadership, if you can call it that, was condoning the same situation, especially when they tell this woman, well, you're to remain with him because he hasn't done anything to give you grounds to divorce him. How would you answer an evangelical that would come out with that kind of tommy rot to tell you something like that? Because that's what they're going to do. They're going to come up and say,
and that's what I was getting at, is if you weren't one of the two, again, strict biblical means of separation or divorce, then the Christian community is going, they're going to put you on the guilt trip as well.
Isn't that something, man?
They're going to say, live in misery for the rest of your life, because that's what God wants for you.
My goodness. Yeah, see, and that's, you know, it may be this particular, because I don't know this person, and I was talking with another person, and so I decided to do a webcast about it, and you called because I'd been putting it off an hour on what to say. I'd found the scripture, and I was putting it off because I didn't want to talk about it, and then you called, right? This is amazing, man. And so I am, because see, now here we are, both men, okay, thinking on the same level. And so you're saying that as a Christian, even if the man is unemployed and you're thinking about marrying the man, that one of the things that you ought to do first of all, let's back all the way up. First of all, you have to look at that man and say, all right, you're handsome. All right, you're strong. All right, you're sexually strong enough, I believe, to satisfy me. I believe that because of the way you hold me, the way we've dated each other, even though if we're Christians, we haven't had sexual relationships.
Right.
If we did have that, I know that you can handle that pretty well. But now the next question coming up is, what you gonna do to take care of me, big boy, because of the biblical principle in verse 8? If anyone doesn't provide for his own, how can you show me you can provide for your own household, whereby you would not be denying the faith? Ever since this person...
Whereby you would be fit for me to marry you.
Absolutely. Because, you see, what's happening is that he's contacting her, from what I understand, saying, hey, I need some money. And so, see, she's getting tired of...
Let me understand. Are they living together? Are they in the same house?
Yes.
So, I mean, what about, I don't understand how he's contacting her for money. I mean...
Because she is obviously at this particular time not with him. See, she is vacationing, you see.
Okay.
And so this is how this subject matter came up. And for those of you that listen to the webcast, you know, PJ, I'm going to address it. She didn't ask me the question.
Vacationing without him because she didn't want to pay for his.
Hey, come on. She's trying to get away from it. She's straight. You see what I'm talking about? That's what these women inevitably come to. They come to the point where, you know what, I can't take this any longer. And then, of course, it comes around to, in some kind of way God works it, they get in touch with PJ. Because PJ is going to, hey, tell it like it is. There's only one verse that I found him. That's that 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. I think that's scripture enough if you're looking for the Bible.
I mean, it is scripture enough. There is the other one is husbands love your wives. Christ loved the church.
Yes.
God has provided for the church.
Yes.
God has given us our habitation here on the earth. God has promised to put food in our mouths because it says that doesn't he look out for the birds?
Yes.
If he's not going to let a bird starve to death, is he going to let one of his own children starve to death?
He's
laid it out. As that's his pattern for us, is that he's the provider. The man is supposed to provide for his wife as Christ has provided for the church.
What I'm seeing in all of this, Bob, is
that security to the wife. That's what the security that we have in Christ is supposed to be modeled by the man giving security to his family so that they don't have to fear the outside.
But you see, these young people today, their churches don't teach them that. Their churches teach them this unisex kind of an idea. It's all about love. It's all about...
equal in God's eyes. Everybody's equal in God's eyes.
Yeah, that's what they teach. That, you know, there's this new, we are the world, we are the, you know, let's take care of one another. In this obligatory thing here, that you are obligated to care for me because God has not put in my heart the intention to work and to provide for you. But I will give you some sex the way you like it. And since you screamed during that time, then you owe me a life. Now, what these guys do is they get with their other buddies and they brag on how the women is responding to their vibrato in the bedroom. Even so-called Christian guys. This whole thing is crazy. This is crazy, man. And then it comes down to this. It's going to be very, very difficult, Bob, as you know, for any woman to break away from a man like that, because now you have a threat looming over your head. You know, because if she walks with the money and everything else, what is he going to do? Number two, everybody else knows that he's a sluggard. And if the Christian doesn't know what that means, you go to the book of Proverbs where God says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. In other words, God is saying, you want to see how a working man looks? Look in an ant hill and see how ants work with one another and bring food down in their reservoir. And so we have other scriptures that show that, oh, the greatest one that I like is what God told Cain and Abel. Remember, he says, since you slew your brother, your punishment is you're going to work and live off of the sweat of your brow. This dude is laying up at home doing nothing, waiting for mama to bring home the biscuits. Bob, I see it around me all the time. And these young men have no guilt at all. They are just a brood of vipers that are living off of women now and burning the women out. And the women, that's why a lot of women are becoming exclusively angry at these men. It is truly a problem. Truly a problem. But listen, I'm going to finish this webcast. I appreciate your insight since we've taken care of the first 20 minutes of this presentation. Thank you, Bob, for the call. I'll get back with you.
Okay, my pleasure. Very good, Pastor. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Now, for those of you that think that this is a put-up, it's not a put-up. That's the way the Lucy Coleman studio works. If you know me, I just get in the studio and I start talking, and then God will have another man call. Now, you're not going to find that in evangelical Christianity, because most men won't tell you anything. They won't even tell you why the woman is going through what she's going through. I was talking with a young man earlier before Bob called me, and I was telling the young man how to be a young man, and he said, "What?" This is what he said to me. Why don't you tell me how to be a young man? I said, no, no, no. I would be telling you how I think you ought to be a man. I said, I want you to find the words within your own heart and you tell me. Guess what the young man said? I'm hanging up on you. Bam. And he did that. Because what he wanted me to do was be the man for him. But I will tell you what he did say. He said that today, check this out, and I don't understand that. He said that he was going to get him a manicure and a pedicure. This is a man that goes to church every Sunday. And I said, your money is tight. Why are you going to spend money, think $23, on a manicure and a pedicure? Why are you doing that? He says, I've got to do something good for me. I almost fell out my seat. That's why I was late getting this webcast up. And so he said, well, since I don't know, well, why don't you tell me how you think I'm supposed to be a man? Let me tell you people something out there. You fathers, you dudes that call yourself daddies, fathers, number one, you're a blatant disgust and failure because you got your boys in their 20s or whatnot, and they don't even know how to make practical decisions. Oh, but they know how to use their sexual organ. All right. Oh, they know how to drive the point home. That's not the point here that we're talking about. If the stats are right, that African Americans are having less children than any other persons in the country, and instead of being number two in population in this country, I believe there was a recent survey that stated that African American families have dropped down to third place in this country, whereas whites are first and Hispanics are second and the brothers are third. You know what? That if this cycle continues, we will cease to be a people. Now, what you must realize is that you may say, well, we need to self-destruct because there's nothing left from the way you're talking as a pastor. Let me share something with you. I'm talking with you like this because I'm asking the inevitable question. Would you answer like Bob did? No, don't look at our lives and try to judge us. We're just speaking as men. A man is supposed to take care of his wife. The new age and the new day has not changed that responsibility. God has never lifted that responsibility off of the man. The man is supposed to take care of his wife, his children, the home, paying for practically everything. If he allows his wife to work, meaning that she works, if he says, yes, honey, you can go to work, but if he is making enough money to take care of her, I think Bob put it well. She should be willing to stay home and clean that house and do the duties that make for a balanced relationship in marriage. Oh, I know, some of you new agers don't believe in that. That's why you women are getting frustrated now, because you've bitten the bullet to believe that you're supposed to take care of the booger. Don't take care of him. I recall in all the instances when I have an opportunity to date other women, you know, and sometimes I do when I just feel a little froggish and want to jump, not to date them for sex, but to date them to see if I can find a decent woman that knows how to cohabitate with a man. And oftentimes the woman tells me, oh, you need to get rid of your property and you need to sell all that and you need to come and, you know, live with me. And what, let the woman take care of me? I don't do that. Now, some of you know what I do. I'm a very free and giving man. I have young men staying with me, and I at times financially take care of them, because if they prove to me that they're trying to get on their feet and get their lives going, I would do that. After I get their lives going, I watch them very closely, and I expect them to use the same tactics that I've used to continue their life going in a very positive way. I don't believe in sitting down talking with Dr. Phil or Oprah or any of these other crazy butt people that's going to try to tell me how to live my life, when that verse says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, if this man has a wife, he has an obligation to provide for her. Well, I can't get a job. Get out there, like Bob said, clean the streets. You live in an apartment complex? Sweep out the hallway. Talk with the manager. Wash the windows. Get a bucket with some soap and water and a squeegee. Somebody help you pay for that. Wash all the windows in the whole apartment from outside if it's a single-story apartment. Clean up the trash around the place. Clean it up. Get on your knees and ask God to provide some sustenance for you as you try to provide for your wife. When she comes in, put all that money in her hand. If she got a job making her money and everything, you offer prayer at the table for the dinner. All right? And you're constantly out there looking for work. You're constantly trying to put in an application, a resume or something. All right, you are an engineer. All right, you are in the medical field. All right, you are all of this, but the economy's shot. Those jobs are not out there. There's some jobs at McDonald's. There's some jobs at some other places. What, are you too big? You can't work there? I can. I'm a pastor. I go and work on a junior college. If that played out, you think I'm going to sit around here and lose my house? I'll lose it if God wants me to lose it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use whatever he gave me to provide. Now, I don't have a wife to provide for, but I have a culture that I have to be an example about. I have to get up and go to work every day. Every day when I get up and I go to that college and I teach those students, they see a man almost 70 years old, still hacking it, still there teaching, doing what he's supposed to do. How dare me call myself a male over a family, marrying somebody? And I'm not talking about the gays, because there's gay men that work every day. Gay men get up and go to work. They ain't laying around like these heterosexual men, laying around just letting a woman take care of them. Because if a gay man don't work, his gay partner gonna put his butt out. That's just the way it is. So let's leave them alone. Let's look at the evangelicals. Let's look at them. How many dudes do you see riding down the street in your city with the woman driving a car and him looking like that picture that I have on my website, with his hands all under his jowls, looking like, oh, I just came to thinking like a female, acting like a female. It's time, brothers, to grow up. I love this verse. Better translated is sense, when Paul negatively restates the positive principle in verse 8, as seen in verse 4. Because in verse 4 it says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family, and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. In other words, if a woman is a widow and she has a child, that child is supposed to take care of that widow woman. If you have a mother that's struggling to make it, and you're a young man in your young 20s working, you're obligated, if you got a mama that's having it, you don't have your mama out there working two and three jobs, and you just sitting around playing video games all day, okay, and watching television, sitting around smoking and drinking all day and laughing like everything is a party, and your mama can't do anything. So this is a connection to verse 4 when you go down to verse 8, where Paul is talking to the man. Okay, so the construction that implies the condition is true, suggesting that there were numerous violations of principles in Ephesus when Paul wrote this to Timotheus, the pastor of that situation there. Any believer who fails to obey this command in verse 8 denies the principle of compassionate Christian love. I'm not playing with it. You call yourself a Christian and you're not going to take care of your family? Listen, listen, listen. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 10, verse 35. He says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. What? How do you know? If you have love for one another, how can a married man say that he loves his dear wife and he will not go out and work and provide for that wife? I was married to mine for 34 years. I'm not ashamed to say it. There wasn't a day that I was unemployed when I was with that woman. And maybe I would be if the jobs ran out, but I'd be working. I'd be doing something. There was one time when the church fired me. I'm telling you people, the church fired me flat out. They didn't want me. I resigned it. I came home and I started crying. I really did, because I didn't have a job. Lucy said, why are you crying? I said, I don't have a slave to bring money in here for you. What am I going to do when the rent is due in 2 more weeks? What am I going to do when these bills are due? I don't have any money and I don't know what to do. I'm too old to get a job. I was crying because I was worried about my wife and my children. Are you brothers that way? I said, well, I ain't got no job, so I'm just going to go and get on welfare. Are you disgusting wretches? That's why our taxes are so high now. Our taxes are so high because, and you know what? Don't be telling me you can't find no job. You lazy boogers, shut the heck up. Get up and make a job. Make something happen for you. This is the United States of America. Well, even though, thanks to your president, we're becoming a welfare state, but you know I don't be liking that mess. You know, whenever I think about him, he's not even the subject of my discourse. It's time for men to be men. John C. Fremont, the great army general, when he was trying to find an easier path through the grapevine, I guess, to go through one part of the Arizonas and the Nevadas, he had a motto, because that was the mascot for my high school, Fremont High School. John C. Fremont had this motto, find a path or make one. You know what that means, guys? Yeah, you know what that means. I don't have to explain that to you. This is a dude thing, right? Just do what you're supposed to do as a dude and stop acting like a woman talking about what you can't find. No, you can't find it because you don't want to find it. And ladies, let me tell you something. Just because he surfaces you sexually, just because he does that in that, don't you get confused about some sexual contact with some dude that won't get up off his lazy stinking behind and won't get up there and get a job and work for you, because he has absolutely no respect for you at all. None. You dudes that be hating on me, you can go to hell with your hate. I'm not thinking about that. You are less than a man. You are a disgusting piece of whatever, and you need to get your act together. Now, this is the way men sound when they've taken care of their families and taken care of their wives. I'm not making that much money. I'm struggling to live here in Los Angeles because things are very, very expensive here. But if I had a woman at my side, I'd still be working. And I'm going on 68 years old, still working, getting up, going to work 3 days a week. I wish I could go five, but they only gave me a few classes. Because if I could go five, I'd be there 5 days a week, working and slaving like a man is supposed to do. You young men that has not come up under that, you need to check out Pastor John. Now, I know how it is. I know how it is. We don't want to follow that course because we have our minds made up. I'd love to hear from you. I really would. I'd love to hear from you on this issue. And as I take my departure, I just want to say this. It doesn't take too much to understand this verse. If you a dude, you need to set your behind down, read it. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, that means your wife, okay, your children, what have you done? You've denied the faith. Don't be talking about, well, I know I'm a Christian, but things are rough. Shut up. You getting out there sweeping that street? There was a truck that was doing construction on a home next to mine. And when I looked out in front of my house and saw that the truck had moved, I went and got a push broom. And I cleaned my whole area with the push broom. Yes, I did. I didn't ask nobody that was staying here with me to do it. This is my house. I know what I have to do. Because that's the kind of a dude I am. Now, some of you young dudes, what would you have done? That's what I'm talking about. And then he says, he doesn't end there. And is, that is, if you deny taking care of your household, you are worse than an unbeliever. Meaning that God is saying, you're an infidel. You are worse than a sinner, the worst kind of sinner, especially a man that would abandon his wife and abandon his own children. And don't be talking about, well, this happened and I couldn't get, you could. You did it. And I want you to feel this tension. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman studio saying thank you for coming by for the Saturday webcast. And I want to thank Dr. Bob Klink, my co-radio host, for allowing the Holy Spirit to have him call me at this great hour of need. God bless you, and whatever you do, stay in the Word.